13, 14, 15, 16, 17, and 18. That ought to be long enough to hold us for a good half a day. Okay. We find a very intriguing, and I perhaps have, I know at least once before, years ago, I shared at this place a sermon. This will be a different type sermon. You remember we were in the series of deliverances. We began back there and followed through how God delivered from Joseph and on, how God had delivered and delivered to all that he had promised. Well, today's message is a conclusion to those deliverance from slavery to salvation. You know, a lot of people, because of the easy conditions of the life in which they are living, they do not realize, a lot of people in the good old U.S. of A., where things are quite abundant, they do not realize that they are in slavery. It's one of the most intriguing things to me. God is so blessed that I've had an opportunity to go lots and lots of places in this good old world that we live in. By the way, just for as bleak as it looks, and it does look bleak, I want you to know I still think the U.S. of A. is the greatest country on God's green earth. It is my prayer, my earnest, sincere prayer that it will stay that way. I don't know what's happening. You listen, it has never been this way before. It just has not. I do know that finally it appears that God's people are waking up to the fact that if it is to be, it's up to us. I heard a man say Tuesday. Okay. He said, you know, when it comes to, and by the way, don't throw him books. I didn't say it. He did. But when it comes to Hillary, I have zero confidence in her. When it comes to the Democratic Party, he said, I have zero confidence in them. And then he flipped it. I can see some of you looking at me like that. Whoa, preacher, you're getting on my turf. You better not have any except God's ground. But anyway, and when it comes to the Republicans, I have zero confidence. When it comes to Trump, I have zero confidence. None of those. It will not be a man who bails us out. It will be God. That was his statement. And to his statement, I say, amen. We as never before, then I'll go ahead and preach this sermon, we as never before have better stay on our face before Almighty God because God's our only hope. Now, there are a lot of people in the world who are free because they've been made free indeed by Jesus Christ and have absolutely nothing of what we have here in a way of benefit, in a way of living conditions, in a way of economy, but they're thrilled and happy. I have this mental, I'll go on in a minute, don't fret. I have this mental image. We arrived way out on the western province of Zambia, Africa, out at Mongu, which is the capital of the western province. And we arrived there, and out of that little corrugated church building, I almost called that a church building. I did just call that. Listen, folks, it wasn't anything more than a meeting house. This is nothing more than a meeting house. But out of that little old corrugated building that the Lottie Moon Christmas offering had built years before came a people dancing in the dust. The dust is the silt from the monsoon season on the Zambezi River was that deep. You just step in it and it'd fill up your shoes and you'd not worry about it anymore. You had a shoe full all day long. And those people came out of there dancing. By the way, it was a unique. They didn't get their shoes full of sand. Not a one of them. You figured it out, didn't you? They didn't have any shoes. They didn't have shoes. And they came out of there singing, my desire, My desire is to know thee, Lord, is to know thee, Lord. And the next stanza, my desire. Oh, they sang that one about six or seven times. My desire, my desire, my desire is to talk to the Lord, is to talk to the Lord. And they were happy. That night we jumped in those Toyota Land Rovers and went 12 kilometers up to Limalunga. And just as it was getting dark, we heard them coming down the road singing. My, seemed like a big crowd, but it was only about 500 of them. They had walked from Mangu, and as they came up the road, the people in the little villages on the side of the trail came out to join them, and they came for a crusade. And that night, I just got to tell you this, 500 plus people accepted Jesus. And guess what? They went home that night, back down that road they came up, singing, my desire. Oh, hallelujah. Now, deliverance from salvation, I'm sorry, from slavery to salvation. Chapter 13, verse 3, and Moses said to the people, remember this day in which you went out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, for by strength of hand the Lord brought you out of this place. No living bread, no leavened bread shall be eaten. On this day you're going out. On this day you're going out. You know, That's a beautiful picture. On this day, you're going to... Listen, there was a day, and if it hasn't been that day, you must have that day. There was a day on Tuesday evening, back in, hallelujah, 1947, in a little country church in Arkansas, I built it and knelt in that altar. And on that day... Listen to me, on that day, Jesus became my Lord. I was delivered. Now, I had tried some other shenanigans to get delivered, just like you did. You know, when I quit chewing day's work, I was really getting serious about getting delivered. But I want to tell you something, day's work didn't lose me. My sin did. My sin did. And I remember that day. I hope you can. Now, but listen carefully now. We hurry on. If you have not faced that day, if you have not come to that place where the Holy Spirit of the living God began to minister to your heart and say to your soul, you need Jesus. Your only hope is Jesus. Just like the only hope for this country is Jesus and God Almighty interfering and intervening for us. Your only hope for salvation is Jesus. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be born again. Save that one name, Jesus. He said in John 14:6, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. So, deliverance from slavery to salvation, and the Lord spoke. Now let's look at verse 14. Come on down in that same chapter to verse 14. We're just going to do a little survey here. And so it shall be when your sons ask you in time to come, saying, what is this? That you shall say to him, by strength of hand of the Lord, brought us up by out of Egypt and out of the house of bondage. And it came to pass, when Pharaoh was stubborn about letting us go, that the Lord killed all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of men and the firstborn of beasts. Therefore I sacrifice to the Lord all males that open the womb, but all the firstborn of my sons I redeem. Hallelujah. Now then, come on to verse 21. And the Lord went up before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead the way, and by night a pillar of fire to give them light, so as to go by day and night. He did not take away the pillar of cloud by day or the pillar of fire by night from before the people. Okay, now, God is delivering His people from slavery. And by the way, He's made this promise. You remember, don't you? You remember back there when a guy named Abram brought his nephew Lot and his wife Sarah, brought her across, and they came from Haran, and they came all the way across, and they got over to Bethel, and between Bethel and Ai, there they made an altar to the Lord, and there they knelt down and worshiped God. And I can see it now as Abraham, I think he had it all messed up, but that's okay. Abraham could mess it up. God was with him. And Abraham built him an altar, and he knelt down before the Lord God Almighty, and I think he knelt to the east from indication of the scriptures that give there. But anyway, he knelt before God, and he worshiped God. There's no indication that Abraham had ever worshiped God before, other than obeying him when he was at Haran, and God told him to get up out of here and take your wife with you, go down to the Standard Roads gas station, get you a road map, and go the way I point you on. That was the only GPS he had. Listen, I'm just trying to get you to go along this road with me here. That ought to at least got a grin out of you. Well, anyway, God said to Abram there at that altar, "You see everything you see? I'm going to give it to you. You see wherever you go, listen, as far as you can walk, I'm going to give it to you. And it not only will be yours, but it'll stay in your lineage and your children and your children's children and your children's children will have it." I want you to know something. This life I have in Christ Jesus, this life you have in Christ Jesus doesn't end. Are you with me? It doesn't end. Salvation is forever. John 3:18. God didn't send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him, Jesus, might be saved. He that believe, listen, he that believeth on Him is not condemned. There's nothing in the world condemn you if you believe in Jesus Christ. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because they chewed day's work chewing tobacco. I knew that when I was 13 years old. No. He's condemned already. Well, we know, because he drinks rock gut whiskey. Now, you really know, don't you? You know they're condemned already because they don't pay their tithe regularly to church. Well, Beth says that ain't so either. The Word of God says, condemned already because... Oh, listen, this seems so easy, so simple. Because you've not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You mean that's all it takes? Yep. That's all it takes. So I must ask you, have you been delivered from slavery, the bondage of sin, that which ties you down, renders you helpless and hopeless? Have you been delivered from that to salvation in Jesus Christ? You see, all it takes is believing in Jesus Christ. Now let's get on this way, okay? So Moses leads the Hebrew people, 2 million plus strong, to a picnic. How would you like to have been to that hog roast? You really aren't much in this with me, are you? You know they couldn't eat hog. Well, let's make it a beef roast, a barbecue. 2 million strong. Can you imagine organizing that? Randy and I sometimes just wrestle half a day trying to get something worked out here, getting everybody's calendar, you know, and all of that. They had over 2 million people. And they left. Now, this is so symbolic. It's so representative of the life that you and I have. And we've had it ever since we said, "Jesus, I need you. I must have you. You must come into my life. I am doomed. I'm hopeless. I'm helpless. Help me. I believe in you. I believe you're the only one that can do that for me. And He is the only one that can do that for you." Okay? Help me. And at that moment, we begin a journey. I often say when, you know, someone comes forward and says, "Pastor, I just want to, I want to ask Jesus to come into my heart. We kneel here, we pray and invite Jesus to come in, and I hear that voice say, brokenly but broken still, Jesus, I have to have you, I have to have you. You must come in, you must redeem me. My only hope is you. And when they get up in there, you can just see it in their face. When they get up from there, one of the first things I say to them, I want to tell you something. You just began a journey. Wow, you just began a journey that you just can't imagine. Come on, folks, amen. Did you have any idea when you invited Jesus Christ to come into your heart that you were going to live the life you lived? I'll tell you how totally convinced I was. I didn't think you could really worship God anywhere but in Arkansas. But I found out. But I got to Detroit. Guess what? It's surprise, surprise. God was there. And wherever I have been, God has been there. Now watch. They get out the door, and they get on the way, and right off the bat, look at verse 17 with me. Chapter 13. Then it came to pass, when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. Oh, you can't imagine how much nearer. This was about 40 years nearer. Got it? Why? Because watch. That was near, for God said, at least perhaps, the people changed their minds when they see war and returned to Egypt. So God led the people around, and by the way, you get into the language it was written in, round and around and around the way of the wilderness and the Red Sea. So, right off the bat, stay with me now. This kind of fits. It did me. Boy, did it ever fit me. Right off the bat, the enemy will lead you on detour. Or God will lead you on detour, I should have said, because you got something in front of you you can't handle. Anytime you think God's leading you round and around and around, he may be. I'm not arguing that. But listen, let me tell you something. It's because you're about to run smack dab, and if you don't know smack dab, increase your knowledge. Smack dab into something you can't handle. Listen, you right off the bat, you have to learn something. You can't handle it all. Let me reduce that. You can't handle half of it. Let's get honest. You can't handle hardly any of it. But I know who can. You know who can. We're going to see him around and around and around and about. And here sits old Pharaoh up on the top porch of his palace, scratches his head. What in the world are they doing? Well, we're going to go to step two in this journey you're on. Or if you haven't been saved, this journey you will be on. We'll go to step two. Now, they're on detour. And right off the bat, there's a dead end. Got it? Chapter 14 now. The Lord said in verse 1, Now the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, that they turn and camp before Phil-Hurah, between Migdog and the sea. Opposite Baal Zephon, you shall camp before it by the sea. Because Pharaoh's going to say, uh-oh, these people wandered around out there till they got themselves hemmed in, nowhere to go. Now, there's an important lesson for you to see here. There are dead ends in your life. There's dead ends in my life. There are places where I've hit it stonewall, smack. Now, by the way, if you want to know how to grow a big nose, just keep running into I'm living proof. Now watch. And sure enough, Pharaoh looks out there and says, golly. By the way, don't ever expect the world to understand what you're doing as a Christian. Got it? As a child of God, you have one responsibility and one responsibility only, and that's to follow God. All began back there when they put the blood on the mantle and on the doorpost. And they were following God, and God's death angel delivered them. Now, here they are, camped out in front of the Red Sea. I want you to see something. We don't have as much time to labor this as we'd want, but I want you to see something. Pharaoh hooks up his mule. He puts it to his wagon, and here he comes. He and all about 600 more mules and wagons, and all these foot soldiers, and here they come. Are you always satisfied with your lot? They start grumbling, complaining. You know, Moses, it's not like there were not graveyards in Egypt where we could get buried. I don't have time to get into that. One of these days we'll get into that burying stuff. But anyway, here they come. Look at that. Oh my, we're going to get wiped out. But there's been an insertion. Look back at verse 21. Well, 20. So they took their journey, and 13. So they took their journey before them from Succoth and camped in Etham at the edge of the wilderness. Here we are. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead the way, and by night a pillar of fire to give them light, so as to go by day and by night. And he did not take away the pillar of cloud by day or the pillar of fire by night, for before the people. Don't you love that? Isn't that thrilling? Listen, God's with them. And God's with you. And he will stay with you. He's not going to leave you. He's not going to forsake you. He's able to deliver you from whatever comes down the pike at you. He can do anything but fail. So he's there. Now right now, all they got is a cloud to protect them from that hot desert sun in the daytime. And at night, they've got a fire. What do they need a fire? Well, first of all, you get 2 million people to the bathroom. Got to have a nightlight for sure. But, you know, don't you? It's too hot at daytime, and it's too cold at night in the desert. You know, in the very desert that would burn you up will freeze you to death at night sometimes. So, what's this up here? Now, we're nighttime. What's this up here? Fire. Now, I imagine a cloud of fire big enough to cover 2 million plus people scattered out, camped out, would be a pretty good pillow of fire. But that's not why God's there. Now, God wants you to have the best. Won't you know that? God does. He wants you to have the best. But that's not why God's there. See, here comes Pharaoh. He's got it in high gear. He's got on the desert treads of his wheels. He's really coming at them. And they're crying. Well, let's look at this. Well, I'll find it. You just give me time. I had it marked. I guess was it one of those invisible pencils? I don't know. Okay. Oh, yeah. 13, 14. And Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid." The hardest thing for a Baptist to do, I know. I hang out with a Baptist all the time. And it's the hardest thing in the world for a Baptist to do. Stand still. This is in 13, verse 13. And Moses said, "Don't be afraid, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." Doesn't that bless your heart? No. To see the salvation of the Lord. Don't you like to see the hand of God do such a miraculous thing as to turn a sinner to a saint? To take an old drunkard that didn't worth shooting? Well, I maybe wouldn't go that far. One guy's got himself in trouble talking about shooting people. But to take a guy that's worthless and useless and turn him into a saint. I'll do this in 30 seconds or more. My daddy was a drunk. He was a moonshining drunk, and he was drunk because he drunk up most of his trade. He had a good trade. He hardly ever had anything left over. One afternoon on Saturday, down in the bayou country of Louisiana, down your home state, a little preacher in an old pickup came down that dirt road, down that lane, to ask the kids that lived there by my dad if they would come to Sunday school and vacation Bible school if he'd pick them up. But they wasn't home. And he met my dad there, a man who had ridiculed and made fun of every preacher, including this one, that talked to him about Christ. Sat down with that old man, told him about Jesus, and Dad started with that rhetoric, oh, I know all this and I know all that. I've even got a boy that I put in the ministry. And the young preacher just got up and said, well, man, you can go to hell if you want to. I'm just supposed to tell you. I'm not supposed to save you. And left. And you know, that Jesus that he bragged on, that Jesus that could change life, suddenly had my dad down by that stump on his knees crying out to God. And he got saved. It was the most miraculous thing I ever saw. My dad had more bad words than sailors have. I don't know how many sailors have. But he had a bunch of them, and they were all nasty and bad and vulgar. And I went a couple of years later to the nursing home to see him. And there he was just praising God and rejoicing in the Lord. God can do that. God can do that. Now, oh, we're in trouble, Moses. We're in trouble. We don't have any graveyards out here. Who said they needed one? Oh, let me. I'll show you this quicker than I can tell you about it, okay? I want you to see this in the Word of God. We'll back up here. Okay, yeah. 14. God will fight for you. Hold your peace. And the Lord said to Moses, 15, why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. But lift up your rod, stretch out your hand over the sea, and divide it. Looking? Yeah, I've got one of those. What do you call that? Illustrations. You see that Red Sea and the water rolling back? The kids are smarter than we are. Do you know that? They got this thing going, and guess what? There's not a scientist or whatever they call those guys anywhere that can explain that. Do you know that? Oh, they explain it away. You know how they do that. This wasn't really a sea. This was a weed marsh. Over up there on the neck of the Red Sea on that peninsula of water that goes up. It's just a reed. Wasn't much over ankle deep. Watch, it dry as a bone. And that's what the Word says. It's dry as a bone. God said, we're going to roll that water back. You're going to go across. Because you see, listen to me. God is in the delivering business. Amen. Well, I need to throw this in real quickly. We'll scoot right on. Listen to me. You don't have one problem. With me now? Are you listening? You don't have one problem God can't deliver you from. If you're in up to there in economical financial ruin, God can deliver you. Just let him. You know, if you're up to here because she jilted you, well, you've never been there. You know, alcohol may have consumed you. Drugs may have got you, a life on the street that's illegal and ill-gained and not profitable. Whatever it is, listen to me, whatever it is, God will deliver you. You know, his program was this. Moses, step up there by the seashore. Take up your staff and put it out there like that. And that water's just going to roll back. But it did. Just roll back. Now here it is, stacked up here and stacked up here. Now go on across. You got it? I think they did it gingerly. But here's what I want you to see. Let me find it for you now. I've been trying to find it for the longest here. All right, verse 19. The angel of God who went before the camp of Israel moved, stay with me, and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud went before them, from before them, and stood behind them. The day God stood up. Now, the only place that ever is mentioned in the Word of God that God stood up is right there. Who is this pillar of cloud? That's God. He's with them day and night, and he stands up. Now, here's the end of the story. There is one other. There's two. I'll just mention them and we'll go on. But anyway, here, listen to me. When God stands up, they take off. God, listen to me, God never fails. He'll stand up for you every time. He'll never desert you. Oh, we fret so many pockets and so many heartaches and so many problems, but he never fails. Now, so they just march on across on dry ground. But hey, we hadn't got the problem solved, have we? Well, we certainly not have. You see, with that very problem, deliverance came a problem. Here comes Pharaoh. Somebody told me, I haven't checked this out, that National Geographics a few years ago came out with an issue that said at that particular area of the neck of the Red Sea, they had found wagon wheels and shields and spears and all of that stuff. Well, surprise, surprise. Anytime God needs to, he can take care of his own stuff. Amen? Now, I want you to see this. Now, we're just going to go on real quickly now. The next thing after that dead end is a dry hole. Verse 22, same chapter. So the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea of the dry ground. On the dry ground, and the waters were a wall, right hand and on the left. And the Egyptians pursued them, and they got destroyed. Come down with me. We got to get past Miriam singing, okay? 22 and chapter 15. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea. Then they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. By the way, you can't go back across the Red Sea. Can't get back across there where there is water. You don't hear any complaining about water when they're on the other side of the Red Sea. But now they can't go back. And now there's no water. And listen to this. Boy, I tell you, I have discovered something about all of these Hebrews. I bet they didn't know it, but they're all Baptist. They just moan and groan and complain all the time. Okay, now, when they came to Marah, now remember, there's no water. They're thirsty. Can you imagine turning a tap, a spigot, that will give 2 million people something to drink? Woo! They came to Marah, they could not drink the water of Marah, for they were bitter. A lot of water there, by the way. Lots and lots of wells there. They're bitter. But the people complained again. So Moses cried to the Lord, and the Lord showed Moses a tree. By the way, anytime you think a tough, the going's getting too tough, just look at the cross. See those nails in the hands of Jesus? See those nails in the feet of Jesus? You see him hanging there with nothing to do but pull himself up erect on the ligaments of his wrist so he could take one breath of air and let himself back down. God showed him a tree, put it in there, and guess what? the water became sweet. If you're looking at the crucifixion of Jesus Christ and all that he did for you and the salvation that's in him, and that doesn't sweeten up things for you, you better go back to the sugar bowl. Okay? Now, move on one more. I'll go one more. Dry holes. And then there was a deliverance. You got to see this. Verse 27, same chapter. Look again. And then they came to Elim. What's at Elim? First of all, it's 12 webs. Wells of water. And then there are 70 palm trees, so they camped there by the water. God had enough. For every tribe. How many tribes are there? 12. For every tribe, there is a well. I think that's the best they've had it since they've been on this picnic. And then for how many palm trees? 70. Come on, class. 70. And for every elder, how many elders? 70. For every elder, there's a palm tree. I don't blame them. I'd have had my picnic there too, wouldn't you? Remember, the whole is this. Deliverance from slavery to salvation. I've walked that way. I'm walking that way today, as are you. And God is right there, hallelujah, right there with us. And if you've not been delivered from slavery, I invite you to come this morning to this altar, kneel here, and say Jesus. Just say Jesus. That's all is required. Now, if you're here this morning and you got lost in the detours, I heard a testimony of the guy that was on the radio yesterday, and he said, you know, there was a time when I was hot for the Lord. I was fervent for Jesus. I wanted no more or less than just to live for Jesus. And then I don't know. Suddenly, Jesus is not in my life. Well, I almost agree with that dude until I realized, baloney, fella. That's not what it is. You're not in life with Jesus. You may be lost in the round detour. Or you may think the road ahead is a little too rough. So you decided to sit down and stay camped where you are. Let me tell you something. You'll never have the joy of knowing deliverance until you turn it all over to Jesus. Wherever you are this morning, as you stand, please.